On the eve of our Christmas celebration, Jesus' birthday, we light all the candles of the Advent wreath. First, we light the candle for hope because Jesus is our hope. Second, we light the candle for peace because Jesus is our hope and peace. Third, we light the candle for joy because Jesus brings joy. Fourth, we light the candle for love because Jesus is love. Finally, we light the center candle. This is the Christ candle. Jesus is born. Jesus has come. Jesus is our salvation. Here is a reading from Galatians. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. Galatians 4:4.
Let us pray. Great God of love and light, we thank you now for the light of that special star over 2,000 years ago that guided shepherds and wise men to the holy babe. Lead us now by the light of your love that we also may follow you to new life in him, in celebration of the birthday of our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, amen.
Thank you, Bria and Chloe and Caden, for getting us started here in this very special Christmas Eve service. Merry Christmas. Glad you could be here. Yeah, thank you. Glad you could all be here tonight for this special service. It's an intimate service. It's a time that is quiet and meant for reflection, meant for celebration, too, as we thank the Lord for all the mighty deeds he has done for us, namely for coming to this earth, born on Christmas so many years ago to save us from our sins, to give us the hope, the assurance of salvation and eternal life. And so it is with joyful hearts that we gather here tonight. There isn't too much by way of announcements other than just wish for God's special blessings on your family times here in the next days, and pray that we would all be granted safety on traveling, those of you who are doing that, and that God would be with us as we remember his birth. We do have a Christmas day service this year, being that Christmas is on Sunday, so of course you are all invited back tomorrow morning to a service that kind of takes on a little bit more of a celebratory type of feel to it, because we are celebrating and rejoicing his birth. I've heard of churches doing birthday parties for Jesus tomorrow, and it's kind of fun to think about it that way too, but thinking of his birthday being one that brought salvation and life and hope and peace and joy and love to this earth. And so in that sense, it's the greatest birthday ever, and we're so grateful for that. So again, we want to welcome you all. Thank you for being here, and we do pray for God's richest blessings upon each of you. Let's open our service then with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day, this night, for this weekend, for Christmas. Thank you, God, for giving us the greatest gift of all, your Son. Thank you for the gift of salvation and life that is found in him, and the joy and the hope and the peace that he brings to us. Gifts that can't necessarily be wrapped, but gifts that are ours nonetheless. And God, we thank you and we praise you. We love you for first loving us. I pray that you would bless this service. I pray, God, you would be with us as we think of the name that you sent through the prophet Isaiah, Emmanuel, God with us. You came to be with us. You are here with us tonight in your word, God. We thank you. We rejoice in that tonight. And we pray, God, again, for your blessing upon this very special time together. In your name, I pray. Amen. This time, we're going to sing. You're going to find the service tonight is mostly filled with carols, with scripture readings, and so forth. And so, even for this first hymn, let's stand as we sing, as we open our service. Number 19, O Come All Ye Faithful, number 19.
Thank you.
seated.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Good evening. I have a special music number tonight. That's another original song, and it has to do with entitlement. I know that it's not overtly Christmas-themed, but everything in the Christian life ultimately has something to do with Christmas, in that life, especially eternal life and goodness, all of that is impossible in ourselves. But God sent his son such that it might be possible, such that we might have eternal life and that we might have life in him. And so there is a connection there, and that my song has a lot to do with just the Christian life and struggling and dealing with sin and the hope that we have because of God's own actions for us.
I'm entitled to nothing. I don't deserve anything, but what I have is so much greater than nothing. He's given Christ the King, who is my everything. While I waste away when I give in to my sin, and I try to seek a glory from within, he gently calls me back to him and to remember that I'm entitled to nothing. I don't deserve anything, but what I have is so much greater than nothing. He's given Christ the King, who is my everything. So I'm face to face, confronted by my lies, and I only want to wear a good disguise, but by his grace he leads me to repent and to remember that I'm entitled to nothing. I don't deserve anything, but what I have is so much greater than nothing. He's given Christ the King, who is my everything. So by his Spirit I'll live in his kingdom for his cause, and I'll try to follow each of God's good laws, but I'm sure to fail and need his grace again, and to remember that I'm entitled to nothing. I don't deserve anything, but what I have is so much greater than nothing. He's given Christ the King, who is my everything. So now I'm entitled to everything. I'm a co-heir with Christ my King. Because he came and died for me on Calvary. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Let's take this time now to join in singing together. We're going to sing a traditional carol, number 28. I am so glad each Christmas Eve. We're going to sing just the first four verses. There was some talk about maybe adding the Norwegian version to it also, but I think we're just going to stick with the English tonight. But if you do know the Norwegian, feel free to sing along in your head. So we're just going to sing the first four verses of, we're going to sing just the first four verses of number 28. I am so glad each Christmas Eve.
From Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And she, the shepherds, returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Thank you to those who are helping here bless us with their musical talents and abilities this evening, as well as our scripture readers. This time we're going to take an offering, and so I will call the ushers to wait upon us at this time. For the message, then, let's sing again together hymn number 35, "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night."
Thank you.
I want to share with you some verses tonight from Isaiah chapter 52. And these are some beautiful verses for a beautiful night. And as I read these, I would ask if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. Verses that were written 700 years before Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah chapter 52, beginning with verse 7, it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Father, these are your words. This is your word. And we're so thankful tonight for the word made flesh. Lord, we're thankful that you came and the good news that was sung by the angels on this night so many years ago was true. Lord, you came to save us from our sins. Thank you so much for that. We praise you tonight for that. I pray that you would bless these words now to our hearts. God, I pray for open hearts and open ears tonight to hear what you have for us, that our focus, that our hearts, our attention would be on you. You are the reason. Your coming is the reason why we celebrate tonight and tomorrow and in the days to come. And so help us to keep our focus, our attention on you. Bless this time, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Marathon running has become very popular in recent years, along with half marathons. And of course, those of us who live in the Fargo-Moorhead area are aware of that, having witnessed the exploding popularity of the Fargo Marathon over the last 15 years. The Fargo ones, I looked up some statistics here the other day. The Fargo one started in 2002 with 300 runners. And now there are over 20,000 that participate in the different events each year. And then there are some national statistics also that I found pretty amazing. In 1976, 25,000 runners across the nation finished a marathon. In 2014, over 550,000 completed a full marathon. That's over a 2,000% increase. But my question tonight is, do you know the history of the origin of the concept of the marathon? One of my dad's hobbies is Greek history, and one of his favorite stories to tell us, children growing up, was how the marathon came to be. A battle took place between the ancient Greeks and the Persians, the Battle of Marathon, it was called, which was a town in Greece. And the Greeks won the battle. They defeated the invading Persians. Now, the legend has it, and there are a few different versions of this part of the story. The legend is that this guy, Philippides, ran from Marathon to Athens, a little over 25 miles, about the distance of a marathon, to announce the Greek victory. And that when he arrived in Athens, he found the city leaders together, anxiously awaiting word on how the battle had gone. And Philippides ran in and he explained, "Joy to you, we've won." And then he fell over and died. Okay? His run and the legend around it became fantasized, and it was all to deliver this good news of a major victory. And without getting any more into it, this was a victory that many historians claim had a major impact on the formation of European and ultimately world history. The prophet Isaiah, in these verses I read tonight, uses this picture of the beauty of the feet of him who brings good news. And this good news is described in these verses. For the Greeks, the good news of victory was a beautiful thing, And the feet of the one who delivered that message, Philippides, was glorified. The picture of Philippides running that distance to share the news of victory had turned into something commemorated all over the world. He carried a message that greatly impacted their life, and it was a joyful thing to them. Joy to you. We've won. That's the kind of picture that Isaiah uses here to introduce a bit of good news that carries an eternal impact. And what I'd like us to do tonight is to read and to study and to hear this message of good news. There's so much joy around Christmas time. Kids are happy to get presents. People are excited to be with family. You maybe get some vacation. There's a lot to be excited for this time of year, but what Isaiah describes here is so much more than the joy of unwrapping presents or seeing the family member or friend that you were hoping would come, or maybe the joy of being able to sleep in on a holiday. All of these things that are great things, name whatever you want to name, that makes you happy this time of year, even if it's your consumption of lutefisk, okay? If that's what makes you happy, whatever it is. All of that pales in comparison. It's all rubbish compared to the message of the victory of God. That's what Isaiah talks about. It's the greatest act in the history of the world, the most important battle won. And it matters to you, friends, because it's for your soul that this battle was waged. As I've said, this picture is given here of the one that brings good news. But the focus is not so much on the individual or the group or whoever might be bringing this good news. On the night that Jesus was born, it was the angels who brought the good news. Behold, as was read earlier, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The Apostle Paul uses this verse in Romans chapter 10 to describe the necessity of proclaiming the gospel, the good news, and the need for preachers and missionaries to be sent to share that good news. But it's really anyone who shares good news. Those are beautiful feet, Isaiah says. The mother to her children, or the grandmother or grandfather. One of my favorite books is one of those books that has an audio recorder inside. I don't know if you've seen those. My mom gave one of those to each of us kids a few years back. It's a children's book of the Christmas story. And the audio is her and my grandmother, who's now dead, reading the Christmas story. And it's a beautiful thing. Not just because it's my mom and grandma reading the Christmas story, but more because that story is good news. The children who shared the good news in the Christmas program here at church a few weeks ago. It's not just a little cute thing that churches and some schools do. These children are sharing a message that is exciting. And the same is true for any of us in whatever station we are at in life. We have an exciting message of good news to share, and it's a beautiful thing. It's peace, our verse says here. It's good news of happiness. And Isaiah gets into the actual content of this message of good news. It's a message, he says, of salvation. Now Isaiah, who wrote this book, was a prophet, and in this book he prophesies against Judah, which was the southern kingdom of the nation of Israel. They had been experiencing wonderful times of prosperity, but that prosperity was accompanied by widespread immorality, drunkenness, idolatry, oppression of the poor, greed, false prophets, false teachers, and so forth. The Israelites were following other gods, the gods of success, wealth, the god of self, you name it, all these other things taking their attention and allegiance away from the one true God, Yahweh. And Isaiah is saying in this book, it's going to come to an end. There's going to be judgment. And this judgment was going to take the form of exile. They were going to be taken out of their country, enslaved in a foreign land, and that's exactly what happened. And that's a poignant image for us today as well. Because we are surrounded by other things that could so easily take our eyes off of our God. Things that would become easy to worship, things that we care more about than God. The one thing you can't live without, that's an indicator of a God in your life. What's the one thing you can't live without? And that's bad news. Our idolatry. And the news gets worse when we realize the truth that it's in our nature to make other idols, to seek after other idols. We are a broken people. The world is a broken world ever since sin came into it. Even happenings in this world that aren't necessarily directly sinful, disease, catastrophe, and so on, they are consequences of a broken world. This world isn't all it's cracked up to be, and that's honest. And you really don't have to go very far. You don't have to look any further than the fantasy that a time like Christmas can tend to have. Christmas time is filled with warm pictures of fun and bountiful gifts and meals and family time and all those kinds of good things. But if your hope, if your ultimate hope this time of year is in those things, they can and will disappoint you. There are lots of people this Christmas who don't have gifts to give or to receive. Some of us won't get to see all of our family because of this supposed impending blizzard, right? There's a lot of families who will have an empty seat at the table tonight or tomorrow because a loved one has died. Is it any wonder that people struggle emotionally and psychologically so much this time of year? We've told ourselves that all these things is what Christmas is about, but those are all the wrong things and they disappoint us. They end up enslaving us, even if they're good things. But if that's where our hope is, we become slaves to them. They give us peace, but it's peace that doesn't last. This is reality. This is a broken world of exile. This world is not our home. We need to be saved from this place. We need to be saved from our sin. And friends, the good news of Christmas is that salvation has come. The one true God sent his Son to defeat sin, to defeat death. Think about that. The one true God sent his Son to defeat death. Is that worthy of celebration? You bet it is. And he accomplished his task. And he reigns victorious. This good news of salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. He is the God over everything else. The name above all names, the ruler of all. Verse 8 is this picture of the watchmen lifting up their voice in the darkness and in the loneliness of exile, waiting for salvation to come, and they see the light of life come. Their hope. And it says, together they sing for joy, for they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and he has redeemed Jerusalem. And this, friends, is where the good news message really starts to crystallize. Watch for salvation to come to Zion, to Jerusalem, and it came. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem and later that week marched to Calvary and defeated sin and death once for all, he purchased your freedom and he gave you eternal life. It's a great story. It's good news. And verse 10 says, the Lord has bared his holy arm. So in other words, he rolled up his sleeves and went to work so that all nations and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Sounds good, right? It is good. But to leave it there, in some ways, can tend to keep it a little bit of a sort of feel-good, motivational story that we could just set on the stack of other superhero stories. But you see, this story of salvation is set apart. And what sets it apart, what makes this good news here different than any other good news you've ever heard, is the way in which God went to work, the way in which he saved the day. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, was supposed to arrive with fanfare in a palace. You would think that would be fitting for a Savior of the world, right? Instead, he came quietly, unbeknownst to all but Mary and Joseph and a few lowly shepherds. Rather than the 5-star accommodations that a king deserves, he was put in a feeding trough for animals. He went largely unnoticed to the world for his first 30 years, and for the 3 years that he spent in the public eye, he was attacked, mocked, berated. The leaders who were supposed to be watching and waiting for him to come instead sought to destroy him. On his final week, he rode into Jerusalem, Zion, not on a mighty steed, mighty horse, no. He didn't arrive with any superpowers. He wasn't in any Batmobile, okay? He was on a young donkey, humbly. He was falsely accused, betrayed, wrongly convicted according to the law of the land, and sentenced to death. His march to Calvary was humiliating. His march to Zion, that's supposed to be this march of victory, it was humiliating. It was a stagger. It was nothing like the march of a king to the land he will conquer. And finally, gasping for air, beaten, bloodied, broken, he died. Doesn't sound like good news, does it? Doesn't look like good news. But you see, this was how it had to be. It looked very different than what anyone expected, than what you and I might expect. But that's because we expect victory to look more like a superhero. When the sleeves are rolled up, the muscles come bulging out, because that's the picture of strength that we value here on this earth. Certainly, God bearing his arm is not a helpless baby in a dirty trough. We expect the spoils of victory to include benefits now, health and wealth, bountiful excess, abundant gifts, lutefisk that falls apart, it's so juicy, and enough pie to last for a month. That's our picture of joy and happiness so many times. But seriously, most even, yeah. Most may even say, of course that's not what we expect, especially in those times of trouble, but at least help us out a little bit. I would implore you. It's missing the point. I do believe that God does help and provide those temporal needs, and it's okay to ask for that, but you guys, that's not the good news that drives us to shout from the mountaintops. No. We think too small. Jesus had to go about this victory the way he did because he was winning something for us far better. He was winning something for you far better than you could ever hope to imagine. That's this story. That's this message. I said a minute ago that Jesus was wrongly convicted according to the law of the land, but you see, there was something else at work. There was God's law being dealt with. And this was Jesus. This was Jesus standing up and taking our guilt, my guilt, your guilt, against God's law upon himself. This was Jesus bearing the consequence of my sin, of your sin, which is eternal death and separation from God. This was Jesus satisfying God's righteous demands for you so that you could be redeemed, forgiven, restored as a child of God with his eternal inheritance. And he did that. He did it because he loves you. He took your sin, yes, all of it. Even the sin you think no one knows about, he knows. And he died for that too. Because he loves you with a love that is deeper than the deepest of oceans. You don't deserve that. I don't deserve it. But he did it anyway. That's the salvation of God. Do you see it? Do you see the salvation of God for you? This was why Jesus came the way he did. He was providing for your soul. It looks very different than what we might expect, but that's what makes it so great. He wasn't coming to this earth just to improve our life here. He was coming to give us a new life for eternity. Way better than anything we could ever hope or imagine here. And that, friends, is good news. And that's the good news that moves us to share that gift with all who will hear. What joy we've won. What joy we've won. Salvation, forgiveness, lasting peace, eternal comfort. I mean, when there's hurt and pain here, certainly we pray and we trust that God will bring comfort and relief at some point in some way. But no matter what happens, Jesus came to give us eternal comfort. And that fact makes the burdens we bear bearable. The gift of salvation and eternal life is incomparable, and it's yours this Christmas and each day by faith. Christmas is indeed merry. It's joyful. It's peaceful. It's comforting because of this good news. The greatest news that God came in the flesh and he died and rose again and reigns today and forever. That's the good news. He gives you that good news. He gives you this joy, peace, comfort, salvation. He gives you that victory through his Son. That's worthy of celebration. And so when you gather tonight or tomorrow to open your presents, I would encourage you, invite you to thank God for the greatest gift that's given to you. It's not under the tree. It's here in his word. It's eternal life. And it's yours by faith in the crucified and risen Son of God. Thank him tonight for the greatest gift given to you. When you sit down to feast tonight, tomorrow, remember that that feast, as good as it is, it's but a morsel, of the feast of eternal fellowship that is waiting for you in heaven. Because he came and bared his arm and went to work in a lonely stable, in a quiet, persecuted life, a gruesome death, but a glorious resurrection. And the promise and the hope that he's making and preparing a place for you so that you can be with him. That is good news. The Savior has come. May God richly bless you tonight. May he richly bless you and your families this Christmas season and each day. Amen. Invite you to get your candles out. We are going to ask the ushers to come forward. They will come and take their light off of the candle that I hold here. I would just ask that you would please, if you have young children with you, watch them to make sure that they're not spilling any wax. And if you would take your unlit candle and dip it into the lit candle next to you, and that's another way of avoiding splitting or spilling the wax. And so keep that in mind, please, as they come around. I want to read from John for you tonight as we light these candles. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." But then I want you to hear these verses. This is the wonderful promise of good news for you tonight. "But as many as received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, the light of the world, is who we celebrate tonight. Let's sing together, "Silent Night, Holy Night."
Thank you.
Father, we are grateful to you tonight for the gift of your Son. Thank you for sending him. Thank you, God, for sending him to save us from our sins. Thank you for sending him to give us eternal life. God, we find in that truth joy, peace, life, hope. God, I pray for each person here that our joy, peace, hope, love would be grounded and found in you and you alone. Forgive us when we fall short. Forgive us when we look elsewhere for the things of this world that we think give us lasting peace and joy and hope, all these things, Lord. Help us to see that you are the one who brings light into dark places. You are the light of the world. You are the resurrection and the life. In you, God, is their life. I pray that you would bless each person here. I pray for each family here represented. Lord, I pray that you would watch over and protect and keep us safe this holiday season. I pray for your richest blessings upon each person and our times together with family and other loved ones and friends. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember through all this time of celebration why we are celebrating. We are celebrating the victory that we have in you because your Son came, because you, our Lord, reigns. That is good news. Lord, thank you for it. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This time I would ask if we turn the lights back on and please stand with me as I give you God's benediction. Please rise. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That is my prayer for you tonight, that you may abound in hope. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's close our service tonight by singing Joy to the World. Why? The Lord is come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Number 18.